This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Jeff Sessions on Friday made a strongly worded announcement about his Justice Department cracking down on internal leaks. Despite the fact that President Trump has publicly undermined Sessions on Twitter, the Attorney General said he, quote, strongly agrees with the President and condemns in the strongest terms the staggering number of leaks undermining the ability of our government to protect this country, end of quote. Sessions announced that the number of government investigations into leaks had tripled under the Trump administration and that there were four people who have so far been charged. He also ominously said that the DOJ would be reviewing policies for subpoenaing media outlets that published leaked information. The announcement has press freedom and civil rights groups worried. The ACLU released a statement saying every American should be concerned about the Trump administration's threat to step up its efforts against whistleblowers and journalists. A crackdown on leaks, said the ACLU, is a crackdown on the free press and on democracy as a whole. My guest is Robert Jensen. He's a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin and the author of numerous books that we featured on this show, including Arguing for Our Lives, A User's Guide to Constructive Dialogue, as well as We Are All Apocalyptic Now on the Responsibilities of Teaching, Preaching, Reporting, Writing, and Speaking Out. Welcome to the program, Bob.
Always great to be with you. Thanks, Sonali.
Before we get to the implications of the sort of veiled threats Sessions made against the media, let's talk about why there are so many leaks from within the government and really from within the White House to begin with. As Sessions was making this announcement, he was angry about the fact that internal phone calls, transcripts of phone calls that the president had with other heads of state had been leaked and been published by the press. Is there a comment that you would like to make about why so many people from inside the White House, so we're talking probably Trump and Sessions' own colleagues or staff, giving out this information?
Well, you know, everybody and his dog points out that Washington runs on leaks. Leaks are not new, but there's been, by most accounts, a fairly dramatic rise in the amount of leaking going on. Why would that be? One might speculate that an administration, the Trump administration, that has no real understanding of how to govern, which means that lots of career bureaucrats and civil servants and even political appointees with a sense of honor might be, quite frankly, appalled and horrified at what's going on in the Trump administration, and it might increase the number of leaks. You know, somebody who maybe was skeptical about the ability of Trump to govern intelligently might make that observation.
So in terms of the people who actually expose what's happening, there is definitely a long-standing approach by the government to crack down on this. But there are different sort of arenas. There are different levels of leaking that happens. You have people like Chelsea Manning who've leaked military documents. And then you've got people who just leak the internal workings of the White House. There's some leaks that are really serious and have serious implications about what the government is doing with our tax money, and other leaks that expose incompetence or negligence, right?
Right. You're pointing out something very important. All leaks are not created equal. Maybe we can think of three categories. There are leaks, as you pointed out, that do reveal classified information, especially Defense Department or national security information. And there are laws to prohibit that. One can argue that in spite of those laws, some people did the honorable thing by disclosing, such as the Manning example. But those are leaks, in a sense, that are covered by actual law. But there are other kinds of leaks that are not. One, as you pointed out, might be leaks of unclassified information. But because an administration like the Trump administration is so difficult to penetrate that it's not revealing and releasing lots of information, some of that leaking might be simply to keep the American public informed of what we should be informed about, but the Trump administration is trying to keep secret. And then there's a third category of leaking, which is really more about politics. It's, you know, in Washington and state capitals, even in city halls, people will leak to try and gain a political advantage over opponents. So all of those leaks are out there in DC, but they aren't all of the same value. Journalists should be very skeptical, for instance, of leaks that are simply meant to undermine a political opponents. They should be maximizing the leaking and publication of leaks that inform the American public about unclassified information they have a right to know. And journalists should, on occasion, I think, publish leaked information that might even violate the law, that is classified information, but when the consequences merit it. All of these require journalistic ethics, and journalists, I think, today are engaging in that conversation.
Let's actually watch a little bit of what Jeff Sessions said in his press conference on Friday. He, you know, where he laid out this message of how the leaks were very serious and what his Justice Department would be doing about it.
Simply put, these leaks hurt our country. All of us in government can do better. The first requirement is for discipline within all our agencies of the government. To prevent these leaks, every agency and Congress has to do better. We are taking a stand. This culture of leaking must stop. Furthering this goal today, we are here to announce some steps being taken and underway by the National Insider Threat Task Force to ensure the government's first priority to protect this country and her citizens is not undermined by the very people who've been entrusted to protect it. While the Department of Justice does not discuss ongoing investigations or confirm specific matters, it is important for the American people and those who might be thinking about leaking classified or sensitive information to know that criminals who would illegally use their access to our most sensitive information to endanger our national security are, in fact, being investigated and will be prosecuted. Since January, the department has more than tripled the number of active leak investigations compared to the number pending at the end of the last administration. And we've already charged four people with unlawfully disclosing classified material or with concealing contacts with federal officers.
And that is Jeff Sessions, Attorney General, on Friday speaking about how his Justice Department is actively going after internal leaks. You know, Bob Jensen, I almost feel sorry for Jeff Sessions. But then I, of course, remember who he is. But I almost feel sorry for him, given that his own president, you know, you can have all of the sort of cabinet members doing their best to keep a tight lid on everything. And then you have Trump himself blurting things out on Twitter. And in the case of Sessions, actually humiliating Sessions on Twitter directly, and then Sessions having to sort of keep a straight face saying all of this and cracking down on leaks. Any thoughts on that? And also, what does he mean by any endangerment to our national security?
Well, you know, first of all, let's point out that it's hard to wonder. It's hard to understand why anybody would take a position in the Trump administration. Once they do, I think you're right. You both feel sorry for them and you think, well, you chose this. But Jeff Sessions is saying things that do intimate a crackdown, and a crackdown is always dangerous, not only for working journalists, not only for the people doing the leaking, but for the American public, because we don't get the information. Now, the most usable justification for a crackdown is always national security, and we have a long history of officials claiming that national security will be endangered by the publication of material. Probably the paradigm example of that is Richard Nixon claiming that the publication of the Pentagon Papers, which was actually just historical material, was going to endanger national security, and rightfully the courts threw that claim out. But we should be skeptical. There are, of course, times when the release of classified information can endanger a war effort or put soldiers at risk, but these are fairly rare, and the U.S. news media has a history of being very responsible in this matter. So we should be worried when Sessions pulls out the old national security card, because that generally doesn't go well for journalists or the public. But what I think we really have to worry about is that the administration is going to crack down not on journalists, not on working journalists. In fact, they've gone out of their way to say they're not going to, you know, increase prosecutions of journalists. but they'll make it so difficult for people within the administration and be so ruthless in prosecutions that that information source will dry up. And again, I want to point out that's not only makes it difficult for journalists to do its job, but it's going to mean in this particular administration, given its secrecy, it's going to mean the American public often isn't going to know what's happening.
Right. And so certainly 2 days after Jeff Sessions spoke out, talking about reviewing policies for subpoenaing media outlets, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein said that we do not prosecute journalists for doing their jobs, quote unquote, and tried to at least appease people who were rightly worried about media outlets being targeted. Let's go back, though, and remind ourselves that this isn't something that began under the Trump administration. Many civil rights organizations, press freedom groups, denounced the Obama administration for very harshly going after whistleblowers and, to an extent, media. We remember the case of James Risen at the New York Times, right? We can't let Obama off the hook because, in a way, he's paved Trump's way on this.
Yeah, so, you know, Risen was under a threat of subpoena and under a subpoena at one point, and he refused to testify. Eventually, Attorney General Eric Holder pulled that subpoena and said there would be no jailing of journalists under Obama. But it's not just whether or not journalists are forced to testify and sent to jail if they don't. It's also the prosecution, as we keep pointing out, of the people doing the leaking. Even when those people doing the leaking are, in a sense, whistleblowers, maybe not whistleblowers under the technical terms of the statute, but people releasing information because they think it's in the public good. If the administration targets them, then journalists will have fewer sources. And as you point out, this isn't new in Trump or even new in Obama. This goes way, way back. The longest period that a journalist spent in jail was, I think, 265, 266 days. A freelance journalist named Josh Wolf, who refused to give up sources and information to prosecutors. So you're right to realize that even when a sitting official says, well, we would never do this, people have done it. Mm-hmm. Officials have prosecuted journalists in the past.
Right. So in the case of the James Risen story that we refer to, in the end, Risen, you know, after his life was made a living hell, did get off the hook. But his alleged source, Jeffrey Sterling, was imprisoned and indeed remains imprisoned. We've seen what happened to Chelsea Manning. Edward Snowden can't return to the U.S. And under the Trump administration, you had Reality Winner, the woman who has now been accused of leaking information to The Intercept, who has been imprisoned and is presumably one of the four people that Sessions said has been charged.
Yeah, so it is true that Obama, Bush, go all the way back, Clinton, all of this is part of history. But I do think we should recognize there is a heightened threat under the Trump administration. And it's important to put this in context. It's not just the question of leaking and whether or not journalists would be subpoenaed. It's the way in which the Trump administration has tried in general to block the flow of information to the American public. Some of Trump's schedule is no longer released, whereas in past administrations it was. We saw the leaking to the Washington Post of the transcripts of those phone calls. Well, the Trump administration isn't providing some of the summaries that presidents used to provide of those kind of calls to foreign leaders. So when the Trump administration starts cutting off the flow of information, when it starts making its daily press briefing more of a hostile combat than it is any pretense of providing information, that's part of the whole picture, and that's why journalists are worried. It's not just the question of subpoenas. It's a question of whether or not you have an administration that's committed to even a minimal level of providing information to the public. No administration, of course, wants to open its doors completely, and no administration ever has. But we are seeing something quite different from the Trump administration, and journalists are quite worried, and the American public should be quite worried.
Right. I mean, framing this whole conversation about what Sessions said has been the war that Trump has very openly declared on the media, literally calling the media the enemy of the American people, and joining him in beating this drumbeat, if you will, is, you know, the is a whole sort of spectrum of conservative groups that have long seen news media, mainstream news media outlets, as the so-called liberal media that are pushing the line of the liberal elite. And to that end, we saw the NRA jumping on that bandwagon in recent weeks and months. And only recently, a new video posted by NRA spokesperson Dana Loesch, who's targeting the New York Times. It's so bizarre, Bob, that you have this gun rights organization going after the media.
Yeah, I think, as you point out, you know, some of us on the critical side, the left side of the political fence, have long looked at mainstream news media and provided a critique of the way they are too cozy with people in power. But now, in a way, the game has changed. And you're pointing out that a very hardcore right-wing Trumpist kind of percentage of the American population is simply rejecting the media for other reasons. That NRA video, the ad you mentioned, is, I think, worth looking at, partially because of the way they quite clearly feel that beating up on the New York Times will win points with that conservative audience. That tells you a lot about how mainstream journalism is viewed from that extreme right-wing point of view. But also the language. It's a very hostile and aggressive kind of language that that's, you know, uses terms like, you know, we've got you in our sights and we're coming for you. It isn't, of course, a suggestion that NRA members should pick up rifles and storm the New York Times building, but it does signal a really antagonistic relationship between that element on the right wing and the media. And for all the faults of the mainstream media, and I, for many years, have been among the people pointing them out, the mainstream media is an important part of American political culture. It doesn't provide a definitive or authoritative account of the world, but it is one source of information that's very important. And if, in fact, there's a significant segment of the American public that simply doesn't pay attention to that media, I think the democratic process suffers considerably.
So let's actually watch the video. It's less than a minute long. This is Dana Loesch's newest video. We've actually covered her earlier video where she basically went after Black Lives Matter and left-leaning protesters in general. This is the NRA spokesperson talking about going after the New York Times, as Bob and I were just discussing.
We the people have had it. We've had it with your narratives, your propaganda, your fake news. We've had it with your constant protection of your Democrat overlords, your refusal to acknowledge any truth that upsets the fragile construct that you believe is real life. And we've had it with your pretentious, tone-deaf assertion that you are, in any way, truth or fact-based journalism. Consider this the shot across your proverbial bow. We're going to fisk the New York Times and find out just what deep rich means to this old gray hag, this untrustworthy, dishonest rag that has subsisted on the welfare of mediocrity for one, two, three more decades. We're going to laser focus on your so-called honest pursuit of truth. In short, we're coming for you.
And that is NRA spokesperson Dana Loesch. Bob, I don't know whether to laugh or be scared. I mean, she's almost a caricature, the kind of thing that you would see in a bad Hollywood movie. I mean, the music and the metaphors, you know, that aggressive, not just language, but even her body language. It's just almost laughable.
It's almost laughable, but when in doubt, I think these days the advice would be scared. And for all the reasons you just pointed out, but also to remember that the issue of guns and gun rights and the Second Amendment, which of course has been a topic of debate for many, many years, has only recently become really an identity issue. And by that I mean that an issue about guns that people could agree or disagree about has hardened into one of the things that identifies people as, in this case, members of the, you know, the right-thinking, God-fearing, make America great again, Trump wing of the Republican Party. And when an issue that, I'm not saying it's not important, but an issue that is not at the center of our political lives, that is guns, when that becomes that hardened, I think it reminds us that, again, the political dialogue in this country has degraded in extraordinary ways. It's not to say that, you know, America was ever, you know, a perfect democracy. There was never a golden age of democracy. But I think there's lots of reasons to be scared and to be nervous about how this is playing out these days in this administration.
Well, Bob Jensen, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. It's always a pleasure to have your insight on our show. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Sonali.
My guest is Robert Jensen. He's a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. He's written a number of books, including Arguing for Our Lives, A User's Guide to Constructive Dialogue. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.